So I was thinking about where do we go next. Peter was amazing, and we learned about the knowledge of knowing Jesus. That is so cool. We need to know Jesus. I can't express that one enough. I mean, how much do we know him? If you kind of go through your mind right now, what do you know about Jesus? You know he loves you unconditionally. That's a big thing. Unconditional means no matter what. He loves us no matter what. We were just talking about this the other night, about Peter's denial. Peter denied him 3 times, and Jesus, what does Jesus do? He asks him, hey Peter, do you love me? Because I love you. And love, what is that? I remember I did an essay one time, and I had to take this, I messed up my whole high school education, and I was going into college, and they weren't going to let me in. I worked at University of Detroit. They weren't going to let me into the college because my grade point average was not even in 1 point something. It was point something. And you know, I worked there. They were going to give me free education, but they wouldn't let me in because my grade point average was so low. So they let me take a trial class of philosophy. And so in that trial class of philosophy, I had to answer the question of what is love. And so I went around and I asked all these people what is love, and I got all kinds of answers, and you know, there's 3 different levels of love and all of that. But I talked to this one friend of mine who I just saw him recently, and he went into this whole thing about love. He talked about love with his parents, with his family, with his friends, with his wife, with his kids. And he talked about all these different levels of love in his life. And I mean, I grew up with this guy, and I was like, are you the same guy I grew up with? Because, man, you just, you know, your talk is so profound. What is love? The Word tells us that God is love. Not that God shows love. Not that God demonstrates love. God is love. So if you want to know what love is, you just got to know what God is. If you want to know what God is, you just got to know what love is. If you want to know what Jesus is all about, you just got to know what God in love is all about. Jesus loves us. We know that. He sacrificed for us, so that we could be reborn. That's what this baptism is about. That's what we're demonstrating, what Jesus did by going into water and coming out of the water. We're going to talk about that today with those being baptized, about being reborn, renewed. In all of our prayers, we talk about being restored. We know that Jesus has restored us. So Peter has taught us all that. So where do we go next? And there seems to be this theme, and it's not on purpose, about the last days going on. And I already told you my view on this. Jesus said you won't know when, but he did say you better be ready. So let's get ready. So we're going to go into 1 Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians, in the area that we're in, this is to the church of the Thessalonians. I underline the word of here. This is the church of Chippewa Valley Church of God. This is the church of God. This is the church of Christ. The of is important. The of identifies us. The of shows our region. A lot of churches are named after where they're located, because that's their area. That's where God planted them. A lot of churches are named after places in the Bible, because those are holy places where God has shown up. A Bethany Church of God is a church I used to belong to and I was a part of. And it is a famous area where Mary and Martha were at in Bethany. And so many churches are named after places in the Old or New Testament where God has shown up. Or else it's, like I said, it's just a local church here at Chippewa Valley. This is this area. We are the church of Chippewa Valley. We are the church of this neighborhood. We are the church of this nation. We are the church of this world. Do you see what I mean by of? So Paul is talking with his two friends, Silas and Timothy. Paul, Silas, and Timothy. Well, you talk about three powerful individuals. Three men of God who go out and just speak the word of God. I think of our men's group. I think of the Pauls and the Silases and the Timothy are just coincidentally and not coincidence. Our group is made from a Timothy initiative. And those who are leading it are called Pauls. And so we have Paul, Silas, and Timothy. We have Pauls and Timothys right here. It means somebody who has been called on to mentor others. A Paul will mentor a Timothy, and a Timothy will become a Paul to go and mentor someone else. And Paul, Silas, and Timothy, these are three ministers going out and are going to the church of the Thessalonians. In God the Father, in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. Do you notice what is missing here from what Peter said? Peter said, in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And now we're back to the same kind of salutation of in the grace and peace. Because right now in Thessalonica, there is turmoil. Thessalonica is a port town. It's a very prosperous area. It's an area where a lot of people are coming in on boats and leaving. A lot of trade going through. It is right along the Aegean Way where the Roman road goes through. And there's a lot of traffic. A lot of prosperity, a lot of money, a lot of influence, a lot of bad influence, a lot of idols, a lot of other gods. They have dozens of other gods in that area. They are struggling just like Corinth, and they're trying to get their footing in this pagan society. This place where it doesn't acknowledge the one true God, but they at least had enough sense, and I talk about this all the time, they at least had enough sense to know there was a God. They might have gotten the wrong God, but at least they had enough sense to know that there is a God. These days, we've got billboards saying that God doesn't exist. That is a crazy thought. I was just reading about it this morning. As I'm reading that Training of the Twelve by A.B. Bruce, I thought it was the 1950s, but actually from the 1700s is when this book was written. And he wrote this about the training of the 12 disciples, about how Jesus was training them. He's a known scholar that it is used in all the theological schools. I'm reading this book, and I got to tell you, there's so many words there. I've never heard of this word. I've got to look up every other word and every other sentence to try to figure out what this guy is saying. I'm kind of guessing a lot of it. I got to tell you the truth. I don't look it all up. I kind of look at the context. I can kind of figure out what he's trying to say. But it's very profound. And he's talking about how, you know, that there is a place where people are becoming atheistic, even back then. Back in the 1700s, they were already becoming atheistic. And I was talking to somebody just the other night. You know, it's really, really, really hard to be an atheist. You know why? Because if you're a true atheist, you cannot talk about God. Because you cannot talk about something that doesn't exist. So you can't argue a point about being an atheist. Because you're talking about something you don't believe exists. So who's going to talk about something that doesn't exist, right? So to be a true atheist is rare. Praise be to God that it is rare. It needs to be rare. So in Thessalonica, they're dealing with all these pressures. And they're this new church trying to make their way and all this influence around them. And so he says to them, grace and peace to you. Because they need some grace right about now. And they certainly need a lot of peace. Because it's all kinds of turmoil. Just like we get done in our prayers, there's all kinds of turmoil. There's all kinds of turmoil in this world. There's all kinds of turmoil in our families. There's all kinds of turmoil in our church. It's everywhere. Continuing. Paul speaking to the church. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. He's talking about himself and Silas and Timothy and all the other saints around him. They're lifting this church up in a continual basis. You know, I think of Chippewa Valley Church of God when I read this. I thank God for the people of Chippewa Valley Church of God. You guys are amazing. I will never, ever forget when we had 11 people lined up here for baptism, speaking of baptism. And most of them were young people. There's a few other older adults with them, or middle-aged adults with them, who were coming along with them, which is beautiful. But 11 of them ready to be baptized. And that's because you poured into them. And I think of Debbie, and then Debbie and Kristen, and they'd get them to that youth convention no matter what. It was like a $3,000 bill. They'd come up with the $3,000. We'd go do a bowling event, or we'd sell some kind of stoneware, or we'd have some kind of bake sale. We'd do something. Or we'd just plain sponsor one of them ourselves. But we'd get them to that convention. And the reason we got them to that convention is because we knew that was going to be a turning point, one of many in their lives. So I thank God for all of you. I thank God for the river. I thank God for Julia, that the music, that, oh my goodness, it just comes out of you. Yeah, you can clap on that one. That's the glory of God. I have seen a lot of very, very talented people. And I have seen very people who are just infused with God, and it just comes out. But when you put the two together, then you've got something. Especially when you've got that infusion that's coming out. And as we continue to pray, when I continue to pray over her, and continue to pray over her voice, her vocal cords, for God to continue to preserve and take care of her. I thank God for Julia. I thank God for Mary. I thank God for our praise team. That's what Paul's doing. He's thanking God for the Church of Thessalonica continuing. We remember, Paul says, before our God and Father, your work produced by faith. Because you gotta have some faith. You gotta figure those kids are getting to that youth convention, and even if it's a $9,000 bill, we're gonna come up with the money. You gotta have some faith that those people are gonna show up at that event you're going to have. You gotta have some faith that somebody has something in their heart that needs to be changed or repented of. You gotta have faith that God is working. You gotta have faith that God is here. We remember. I swear, I think we always have amnesia. I think we deal with constant amnesia. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, prompted by God, prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we just need some endurance. Sometimes, like David was talking about, we're just tired. Sometimes our schedules are just too filled up. Sometimes the roof is caving in. Sometimes things are not going right. And we need a little endurance. We need to make it through this day to get to the next day, to get to the next. Can you relate? Continuing. For we know. Say that word with me. No. For we know. We learned so much about that from Peter. That the knowledge of Jesus is to know Jesus. The knowledge of God is to know God. The knowledge of the Holy Spirit is to know the Holy Spirit. And what is the difference if you know somebody? If you have a friend of yours and you say, I know them. Why do you say that? Because you have this relationship. You've spent some time with them. You've gotten to know them. You know their likes and dislikes. I love it when somebody is going to give somebody a gift. My daughter does this all the time. And she knows what they like. So she gives them a gift about their personality, something she's heard along the last year or something about what they like or dislike. And then she buys them a gift that suits their personality because she knows them. I try to do that. Don't always succeed. For we know, brothers and sisters, you are my brothers and sisters here. We are brothers and sisters. That is a beautiful thing. We are the family of God. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that He has chosen you. That is an honor. I am chosen by God. That is an honor. And it is also a responsibility. It means we got work to do. It means we got people to talk to. It means that we got things to get accomplished. Continuing. Because our gospel came to you, not simply with words, these aren't just words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. In other words, we have to not just talk the talk, we gotta walk the walk. We gotta do what we say. You know, that's one of the struggles we have with disciple making. The number one struggle is that the people leading it have to do what they ask people to do. And we're asking them to do a lot. So we're called on to do a lot. But I want you to know that everything counts. Every time you talk to somebody, it counts. Every time, like Rose, I love Rose, she was posting beautiful, like, flowers and a verse, and she'd be posting stuff all the time, it counts. Every time you have a conversation with somebody in trial or tribulation, it counts. Every time you mourn with somebody who's lost somebody, even if it's a tragedy, it counts. Every time you talk to somebody, share a verse, it counts. It all counts. It counts for eternity. And when we have that deep conviction that we know it counts, continuing. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. For you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. I was just reading about this too. You know, it's one thing to show our joy when everything's going good. It's one thing to show our joy at a wedding. It's one thing to show our joy at a new birth. It's quite another at a funeral. It is quite another in a hospital room with a diagnosis that's not looking too well. It's quite another with having to endure something year after year, day after day, month after month. It's another to have to deal with a personality that's out of control and you're trying to help them out, but they're attacking you. It's quite another to show joy in these situations, but we imitate Jesus. So if we know Jesus, we can imitate Jesus, right? If we don't know Jesus, we're not going to do too well about imitating Him, are we? And how do we get to know Him better? I'm going to tell you, it's all written. It's from cover to cover. The entire book is all about Jesus. It's only about Jesus. Old Testament, New Testament, Book of Revelation, all of it. It all unlocks the kingdom of God. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. We're going to get to that in a minute, continuing. And so you became a model to all the believers of Macedonia and Achaia. Model. You know, that's something that we're kind of getting back to. We're getting back to mentorship, aren't we, in this world, in careers. We're getting back to where somebody knows how to do something and they show you how to do it. I mean, if you want to be a carpenter, go find a carpenter And they'll teach you all about the wood boards and how to lay them and how to do tongue and groove. You're not going to figure that stuff out by yourself. And doing it in a book and YouTube, good luck. But you get somebody who knows what they're doing and they're actually sanding that wood and having you sand it and making that tongue and groove fit exactly in place. Get yourself a carpenter. You want to do electronics and be an electrician. Get a hold of an electrician and be a journeyman. I had a friend of mine, he was a sprinkler fitter. And you go and you put in all the sprinklers in the building. It's hard work. Good pay. But you don't learn that without having somebody, because it can be dangerous. And if you're doing something and you start hitting the circuit or you start hitting water, you can cause a lot of issues, a lot of problems if you don't know what you're doing. Have you ever gotten a house and you moved in the house and they've done some do-it-yourself work at that place? I remember one time I was looking for a house and somebody paneled the entire inside of the closet. Yeah, that's what we said. What? Why did they do that? First of all, we said, well, they're hiding something, because why are you going to waste good money on paneling inside of a closet? There's something behind that paneling. We walked away. But people will do the craziest stuff when they do it yourself, and they'll take shortcuts, and they won't know exactly how to do something like hanging a light or something, and the wiring will be faulty, and it can be downright dangerous. We need a model. We need a mentor. And as we help somebody come along, like I'll talk about these baptisms, as we help somebody come along, first of all, we're going to prepare before the baptisms so we know what we're doing. But more importantly, what happens after? What happens after somebody's baptized? I'm hoping that somebody's going to walk alongside them. I'm hoping somebody's going to show them some of the word. I'm hoping that somebody's going to be talking and walking. You know, and I'll tell you, I read this. Back in the day, in the first century, if you were to be baptized, you didn't just go get baptized. You had to be walking with somebody for a year. And then that person had to take and put their reputation on the line to tell the church that you're ready to be baptized. And then that person would walk with you after you were baptized. This was the methodology. And it's so important. Because they would model what they talked about. They would show, they would walk with, continuing. The Lord's message rang out. Rang out. I think of Christmas. I think of bells ringing out. You know, during Christmas time, everything's ringing out. You see the trees. You hear the Christmas carols. We wow that back, don't we? And you hear the choirs. And even in the stores, you can feel the love ringing out. And then the Salvation Army with their bell on the corner or right outside the store, they would ring out. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it. In other words, you guys are doing so well, I don't have to be bragging on you. I don't have to be telling everybody about what you're doing, because they're seeing what you're doing. And those 11 people who were baptized, they're going out and they're telling people what you already did. You have the fruit of your labor in the lives that you have poured into. That's what's happening at the Church of Thessalonica. Continuing. For they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell up how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. You know what another word for turned is? Repent. That word has been coming out so strong over the last few months. Repent. I've had some holy rollers in my life. Holy rollers are people who believe in that holiness movement, who believe in, like, we have to follow the law. Holy rollers are really strict about their behavior. Holy rollers. But I gotta tell you, the one word that the holy rollers got right, and many things they got right, is repent. But the thing I don't think we got right about repent, and this is so important, we look at the little picture when we think of repent. We think of repenting of this sin and that sin. We got to repent from lying. We got to repent from stealing. We got to repent from not doing this. And we have this laundry list. It's longer than if I took a roll of paper and rolled it all the way up to that door. You could fill it up with all the things that you have to repent of. And you should repent of every one of them. But that's not what they're talking about. What they're talking about is we need to repent about our attitude towards God. We need to repent about our attitude towards Jesus. We need to repent about our attitude towards the Holy Spirit. If this world would repent about Jesus, that whole list would be wiped away. Not because you had to, but because you want to. Not because you had to stop stealing because you shouldn't steal, but you wouldn't want to steal because Jesus wouldn't want you to steal. Big difference. We need to know what we are repenting of. We are repenting of our attitude, of our mindset. We are turning. What repent means is to turn around, change behavior, continuing. And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus who rescues us from the coming wrath. And I put that in red. Wrath. We don't like to think about the wrath of God. We like to think that just God is always just kind and loving and caring. And He is all that. And His wrath actually shows all that. Because, you know, it's like a child. I heard about this on a radio program once. What would happen if we had a child and we never disciplined that child for their entire life? And now that child becomes a 25-year-old that looks like a linebacker from the Detroit Lions, and he's strong as an ox, but he's never been disciplined. What do you got on your hands?
A monster.
You got trouble on your hands. And it's going to get out of control fast. And so with God, with no wrath, with no judgment, with no consequences, we got a bunch of monsters running around. There is a coming wrath. You know, last days are not pretty. I talked about this before. I'm not sure I want to be around when it all is going to really hit. I will be if that's God's will, and I will talk to everybody I can, and I'll do whatever I can. I'll dodge the fire of brimstone coming out of the sky if that's what's going to happen. But it's not going to be pretty. There is a coming wrath. And you know, even if you don't want to take it to the physical level, we can take it to the spiritual and the emotional level. That wrath builds up inside of us. That wrath is how we view things. That wrath is that desperateness that we have. That wrath is just that hopelessness. That wrath is the absence of God. So when we say there's a coming wrath, I think what it is when God is taken out of the equation, when Jesus is out of the picture, when the Holy Spirit is no longer present, that's the wrath. That's what really we're talking about in the book of Revelation. We're talking about when the cover comes off, when the protection, when the umbrella is no longer there. That's what we're really talking about. And Jesus rescues us from the coming wrath. I don't know mechanically how or logistically how that will work. I just take him at his word that he's going to rescue me. He's going to pull me out of this mess because there's a wrath coming. There's some destruction coming. We talked about it. Peter talked about it, that it's not going to be water. It's going to be fire. I'm not sure if that means the sun's going to blow up. I'm nuclear. I don't know exactly how that's going to come down. I don't know when it's going to come down. I do know it's coming. Paul is telling them that they are faithful, that even with all this persecution coming at them, that their deeds are known everywhere, and that they are waiting for Jesus from heaven, and they understand that he was raised from the dead. They understand baptism, and that he rescues us from the coming wrath. And the coming wrath to me is nothing more than the enemy. It's not just last days, it is that, but it's these days. And what do we learn from Peter? The last days are these days and those days and every other day and every day ever since Jesus came on this planet. We are in the last days now for the last 2,000 years, and we might be in them for another 2,000 years. I don't know. It's getting pretty wacky out there. I don't know how wacky it can get, but it can get pretty bad. But Jesus, what Paul's telling them is that Jesus rescues us. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we need you. We need to be rescued. We need to be rescued from our own minds. We need to be rescued from our own situations. We need to be rescued from our own mistakes. We need to be rescued from our own situations. We need to be rescued from some people. We need to be rescued from some politics. We need to be rescued. We need to be rescued from our own selves. We need to be rescued. We pray right now for you to rescue us from any wrath, from yourself or the enemy or anything else, even if it's brought from within. We trust you. Now and forever, into eternity, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Tells them. How can they be saved if no one pours into them? I'm paraphrasing now because I don't remember it by heart. But how beautiful are the feet that bring the good news. The good news is about Jesus. We imitate Jesus by talking about Jesus. We imitate Jesus by doing what Jesus would do. What would Jesus do? They really had it with those little bracelets for the young people. That was really brilliant. But we even looked at that about a year ago and we said, what would Jesus do? But we even modified that a little bit. We said, what would Tom in Jesus do? What would Tom in Jesus do? What would Roman in Jesus do? What would Debbie as a Christian in Christ do? How do we imitate Jesus? More than just putting a bracelet on. More than just a mindset. How do we become like, isn't that the goal? Become like Jesus. And when we become like Jesus, we imitate Jesus. That means that, you know, maybe Tom's annoying. He doesn't want to be bothered by this. He doesn't have time for this. It always happens, it always comes up at the most inopportune time, doesn't it? And you know, I've got to be somewhere. I got to talk to somebody else. I got to go. I don't have time for this. But that's the moment I need to take a hand and say what's going on. That's the moment that God is, that's the God moment. And that's the minute that God is saying, be like my son, be like Jesus. Put your agenda aside, imitate Jesus right now, and talk to this individual. That's the moment that the miracle starts to happen. That's the moment of transformation. That's the moment of restoration. That's the moment that I get to imitate Jesus. So what do we take from all this? We leave here changed, transformed, energized, ready to go. I think of Melissa, as you go into that court, you're walking in with Jesus. I think of this situation with your friend Jen. You've got the comfort of Jesus. I think of these baptisms and this next step. Boy, this next step is so huge. The baptism isn't huge. The next step is what's huge. We all have a next step tomorrow. Imitate Jesus. Let us pray, dear Father God. We pray to be like your Son. We pray to be in Christ. We pray to be a Christian, Christ in. Dear Father God, we thank you that you've given us the Holy Spirit in us. We thank you that you travel inside of us. We thank you that you help us and that you give us signs and that you are always protecting us from any wrath. And dear Father God, we thank you that any wrath is only because you love us so much that you need us to be the best we can be in our Lord Jesus Christ. So we ask, dear Father God, that I need you. We call out, I need you. I need your help to be like your Son. This we ask through the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. We are dismissed to love and to serve our Lord Jesus. Amen. Have an amazing week. Go and be like our Lord.